Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. And I can assure you he was a good bus instructor. I'm still driving successfully. Well, thank you so much for having me here today. And it was a real treat to be asked by Pastor Martella. And last night we talked on the phone, and he told me that this is the oldest church west of the Mississippi. Is that right? That's great. And he told me about this other podium over here, Ellen G. White's podium in your church. So that is really remarkable. I was looking at that earlier. Well, he wasn't just any athlete. He was a two-sport star. He played both football and baseball. Just playing one professional sport is quite an accomplishment, isn't it? But two sports, football and baseball. His nickname was Prime Time, because he could always deliver in the clutch moments. It didn't matter if it was the Super Bowl or the World Series. He played in each of those at different times. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Hey, I heard it right here. Deion Sanders. Prime Time, also Neon Deion Sanders, was quite an athlete. He, in that prime time of his life, when he was so famous, now he is a TV commentator, he was living a double life, though, and he's written about it in a book. See, he had everything at his fingertips, and he was the family man, and he read the Bible, and he had the whole regular life, but then he would party until the wee hours, and he had the bachelor's single life on the wild side, even though he was married. And when you have that double life, it just torments you, and eventually he drove his car off a ledge on purpose. Fortunately, he made it through okay. But life in the fast lane just means you come to the end of the road sooner. He discovered forgiveness and a friend in Christ, and he's a Christian today, and he leads a single, regular life. He doesn't have to fake it. Someday he'll be playing heavenly football, perhaps. Maybe we can be on his team. Well, sports stars and old school buddies and coworkers aren't the only ones who have nicknames. God has them too. How many of you might have a nickname? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody have a nickname in here? That's quite a few. Quite a few. Oh, over there too. Okay, so God has quite a few. In general, nicknames are descriptive, and they often are about things that something somebody does well. God has quite a few nicknames, and he does things very well. Would you agree? Yes. His nicknames make all other nicknames, all of our nicknames, pale in comparison. His nicknames shed light on the light of the world. They can serve as adjectives much more than proper nouns. And we can learn about our beloved Creator and Savior by understanding how the certain nicknames came to be and follow those Bible stories. We can learn that we can count on Jesus because he's real, he's reassuring, and he's reliable. But most importantly, Jesus is a refining friend of sinners. As his friends, because he is our friend, our best friend, hopefully, we should know his nicknames, right? So there's a very extensive list, and this doesn't even completely cover them all, but maybe having such a broad list, maybe that shows his importance to our well-being. I've asked this morning a friend of mine, Eddie, to share with us some list, and it's not a complete list by any means. There's still more, and some might come to mind, but think about these. Contemplate the meaning of these names and what they mean to you in your spiritual walk.
Advocate, Lamb of God, the resurrection and the life, Shepherd and Bishop of souls, Judge, Lord of lords, Man of sorrows, Head of the church, Master, Faithful and true witness, Rock, High priest, The door, Living water, Bread of life, Rose of Sharon, Alpha and Omega, True vine, Messiah, Teacher, Holy One, Mediator, The beloved, Branch, Carpenter, Good Shepherd, Light of the world, Image of the invisible God, The Word, Chief Cornerstone, Savior, Servant, Author and Finisher of our faith, The Almighty, Everlasting Father, Shiloh, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I Am, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Bridegroom, Only Begotten Son, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, Son of Man, Dayspring, The Amen, King of the Jews, Prophet, Redeemer, Anchor, Bright Morning Star, The Way, the Truth, and the Life.
What a list. What a list. You know, and there's more than that. A fun thing to do sometime, maybe, to look through the Bible and find nicknames and follow the stories of how those names came to be. There's plenty. One way, a little tip, you could look in the Desire of Ages in the index under Christ, offices, titles, and appellations, and there's also some nicknames there. Well, this morning I thought we'd take a look at nicknames of God and highlight a few. So we're going to go through in the following sections: real, reliable, and reassuring. First off, real. Our God is real. For me, there's not a more disturbing nickname than Man of Sorrows. Man of Sorrows. Our God is not supposed to feel sorrow, is he? He's God. God feeling sorrow. Yet the prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 3, about Jesus like this: He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering. And in Desire of Ages, page 393, Ellen G. White writes, with a yearning heart, Jesus saw those who had been his disciples departing from him, the life and light of men, the consciousness that his compassion was unappreciated, his love unrequited, his mercy slighted, his salvation rejected, filled him with sorrow that was inexpressible. It was such developments as these that made him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Going back to Isaiah 53 and verse 5, we find he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? Our God suffered from reality. And what is reality in this world? Sin. That's the reality. Other nicknames that come to mind when we think of Man of Sorrows are Servant and Son of Man and Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I like things simplified, and it's always nice for me to understand and get to the bottom line and not beat around the bush. I like to get to the point. There's a publication called the bottom line that cuts through marketing hype in the world, and you can understand things the way they're supposed to be, not with all the fluff. Well, the bottom line of the Bible is that the sinless one became sin. The bottom line is that Jesus is love. Years ago, I'm told that an Asian city officially changed their name to USA. This is an interesting story to me. They changed their name to USA so that they could put on their consumer goods, made in USA. Isn't that quite a trick? That's a true story. Made in USA. What a great scam. But false advertising definitely exists in this world, and I'm sure you've seen it many times, assuming a misleading name just to imitate something else or to get ahead. Satan tries to imitate God, doesn't he? Make no mistake about it, he wants to be a friend of sinners too. He's like the chief sinner. Well, that's false advertising when he wants to be a friend of sinners. Jesus is a real friend who is willing to die for us. As he suffered, we are healed. As he died, we live. That's good news. I have a little book of Peanuts Wisdom. It seems appropriate in Sonoma County to have Peanuts Wisdom, doesn't it? Seems like all over the place you see Snoopy or Woodstock and these different statues, and of course by the late Charles Schulz. And I was lucky enough to have met him at his ice arena there at one of his Christmas ice shows. Does anybody went to those Christmas ice shows? Oh, quite a few. Those were a lot of fun, and I miss those. And I miss seeing him at his corner table year after year, and in such a nice, humble man. Well, I have this little book, and it's called You Can Count on Me. There's one section in it that is so funny. It poses a very good question. Snoopy is on top of his doghouse, of course, sleeping, trying to sleep at night. And he's there with a frightened look on his face. He jumps down and he goes and knocks on the door. Charlie Brown sits up in bed. This is following along in the little pictures. He sits up in bed and proceeds to answer the door, finding Snoopy. Are you upset, little friend? Have you been lying awake worrying? Well, don't worry, I'm here. The floodwaters will recede. The famine will end. The sun will shine tomorrow. And I will always be here to take care of you. Then, sending Snoopy back to the doghouse, Charlie Brown says, be reassured. Can't you see that? The next picture is of Charlie Brown back in his bed, the covers pulled up, now with a frightened look on his face. He asks, who reassures the reassurer? What a question. What a question in life. Who reassures the reassurer? There's a lot of people striking out on their own, and they're making their way without God. And things can go successful for some time period, but eventually all that ends. Who reassures the reassurer? The nickname also comes to mind here, advocate. Is that reassuring to you? Advocate, as our mediator, redeemer, and savior. That means his cause is us. You and me, that's his cause, our advocate. In Desire of Ages, page 210, we find the writing, the world has been committed to Christ, and through him has come every blessing from God to the fallen race. He was the Redeemer before as after his incarnation. As soon as there was sin, there was a Savior. He has given light and life to all of us. And according to the measure of light given, each is to be judged. The concept in the text, living up to the light you've been shown. Isn't that wonderful? See, not only is Jesus our judge, he's also our lawyer. Doesn't sound like the American system, does it? I've always thought that if I was up for something, which hopefully I never am, but if it'd be better to be judged by one fair judge than a jury that can be swayed by emotion. We've never seen that before, have we? History can attest that that's not necessarily always the best system. A fair judge. God is fair. God is our judge, and he's our lawyer. You can't beat those odds. Don't you feel comforted and reassured knowing that God is your judge, that God is on your side? Who reassures the reassurer? Our next section we want to look at is reliable. In Ephesians 2:20, we find Jesus Christ referred to as the chief cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Now, if you know much about building, a cornerstone's an important piece, isn't it? Very important piece. Also coming to mind here, along with cornerstone, are rock, an anchor, and bread of life. All of those describe one who is reliable. A cornerstone is an essential part of a rock building. It holds and secures the structure. In 1 Peter 2:6-8, Peter writes about a chosen and precious stone that serves as a cornerstone for any who believe. But what happens for those who don't believe? For those who don't believe, the stone is a reject. A reject that causes men to stumble. It's just another rock. We have rocks everywhere. Some people think that the world owes them, and they dangerously focus on self. Do we have a problem in America with self and selfishness in the world in general? I think we might be the flagship country for selfishness. It's really easy to get caught up in the rat race, in the cares of this world, isn't it? But if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. That's right. Let that sink in. If you win the rat race, you're still a rat, because that's what the race is all about. It's about being a rat. Life needs to be kept in perspective because it's a surprisingly short journey, isn't it? And we really don't know what day will be our last. We need to treat each day like it is our last day. How many days do we miss doing that? I know I do that often, but we need to treat each day like it could be our last day. And today, at the same time, today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's nothing about the past, mistakes or regrets or accomplishments even. It's not about yesterday. It's about today and forward. There's no promise of the forward, but you have to look a little bit forward, but it's about today. When you stumble, though, as we all do, it's okay to start over. Beginning again is all right. The Good Shepherd is right there to help you up, just as he went looking for the lost sheep. The Good Shepherd is there for you and I. He's reliable. One of the most exciting things to me of the whole Bible is that God knows the big picture. Isn't that exciting? We get wrapped up. There's even that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And even then, it's not the big picture. God knows the big picture. He understands the mysteries of the universe and beyond. He created it all. He understands how our characters need to be refined. What we heard there in the scripture reading, Revelation 22:13, God proclaims, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You weren't ready for that. I am the Alpha and I am the first and the beginning and the. Those are powerful nicknames. When you're there at the beginning and you're at the end, you made it all, you made everything in between. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Have you ever been reading a book and just flipped to the end of the book to see how the story ends? Save yourself some time, right? Has anybody ever done that? Be honest, I have. Yeah, okay, a lot of people have. And of course, we could do that with the Bible too. We know how that story ends. We're reading about it right now, Revelation. God doesn't need to know because he knows the end from the beginning. He already knew the end of the story before it began. Because why? He was there in the beginning, the first three words of the Bible. Well, as a writer, I write for the St. Helena Star, sometimes a spiritual column. I'm especially intrigued with the nickname author. Author. It's found in the Bible and also in the spirit of prophecy. Satan is referred to by a nickname in the Desire of Ages as the author of sin in all its results. That's a good nickname for him, isn't it? Very descriptive and fitting of his infamous accomplishments. Sin in all its results. The author of that. However, Jesus is referred to as an author many more times. The author of life. The author of truth. The author of faith. The author of the resurrection. Those are better stories written, aren't they? Peter, speaking in Jerusalem after the resurrection, told the crowd, "You killed the author of life." I'm so thankful this morning and every day that Jesus was raised from the dead. He lives. He lives. We serve a risen Savior, as the old hymn says. Jesus is the author of life, yet we're writing the story because of our freedom to choose. What a blessing that is, isn't it? Yes, he knows the ending, but we don't. He knows the desires of our hearts, the deepest, darkest parts of our heart. How often do we hurt Jesus? Do we hurt Jesus by our actions? Our words, our thoughts, our choices. Do you ever find that sometimes you're majoring in the minors of life? Do you ever major in the minors? We get caught up with the silliest little things that have no bearing whatsoever on eternity, on sharing the good news and sharing God's love. Let's remind ourselves, let's pray that we don't major in the minors of life. Let's give our prime time to Jesus. One thing is for sure in life, you can always count on Jesus. He is the reassurer. That's who reassures the reassurer. God does. He's real, he's reassuring and reliable. He's the refining friend of sinners. There's a Christian music artist by the name of Jennifer Knapp, and she has some beautiful lyrics I just wanted to share with you from a song called Refine Me. Lord, come with your fire, burn my desires, refine me. Lord, my will has deceived me. Please come and free me. Come rescue this child, for I long to be reconciled to you. Refine me. All I can do is lift my heart, my soul to you and pray and pray. Oh, I will pray. A beautiful song. In Hebrews 12, 1-2, it reads, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's say that together. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. My questions to you this morning are, how will you write your story from today forward? How will you write your story, and how will your story end? Let's make Christ first and last and best in everything. Let's pray.